You're listening to the Cougar Preview Show with Hans and Scotty on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hey, welcome in. It's your Cougar Preview Show right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network as we count you down to kickoff. It is BYU and Arizona State. Cougars fresh off that W against Utah, an impressive win, Hans, that not necessarily surprised the BYU won, but surprised the way they did it. And now the question is, that dominance in the trenches, can that continue throughout the course of the season?
The question is, I think, for all of us, is, and it's a part of that, Scotty, is how good is this team? How good are they? And how good can they continue to be? And every week you find new answers to a team's ability or a team's lack of ability. And right now I find myself more asking how good can BYU be and less asking, is this a facade? Is this fake? Is what we saw, as you mentioned yesterday, that USC win that is then followed up by three losses.
Yeah.
Is this that type of team? And you go through all the names and you're wondering, am I being hoodwinked? Am I being tricked? Because I don't want to fall into the trap of being tricked, because it's never fun to fall into that trap of being tricked one way or the other with the team, that they're that bad or they're that good.
Yeah.
Because then you get a little overexcited and then one fan base hates you for being too excited and they're like, see, we told you, you're always wrong. And they never see the fact that we've nailed 80% more teams than we've missed on. They don't see it. So I'm very careful to just jump in and say, this team has got it, and they're incredible, and they're going to beat Arizona State. I'm very hesitant. You know I don't just jump in like that. With that being said, when you study the personnel that BYU is playing with and what they did against Utah, they sure feel capable. But there's something else that I'm continuing to watch develop that gives me a different type of confidence. And it's a continuing development. And that is Elias Tuiaki's understanding of the talent that he has and his usage.
Yeah.
Along with the suggestions of Coach Kloon.
Yep.
Because I think that Coach Kloon is having some influence.
I hadn't thought about that. That's a good point.
Yeah. So I like some of that influence, and I like how they're working right now.
Yeah.
And Coach Kloon's got a position group that he feels like he can max out. He's got some good linebackers.
He does. Mm-hmm. He's inherited a good group there.
And then the ever-evolving aspect of Aaron Roderick's ability to game plan and call a game. I don't know if we spend enough time on what Aaron Roderick has done as an offensive coordinator. It is undervalued and unappreciated.
Yeah.
And so those two and their understanding of their talent and their creativity in game planning and then their creativity in calling a game. That's where you start to build a little bit more confidence, because then you start thinking to yourself, well, does it matter if it's Neil Powell or Puka Nacua? Does it matter if it's Isaac Rex or Dallin Holker? Does it matter if it's Lopini Katoa or any other running back, Tyler Algier, or any other running back? Does it matter? Because they're calling plays that fits personnel.
Yeah.
The scheme and the system that they're putting against opposing scheme and systems, they're working really well, and they have, going back to the beginning of last year, and, you know, when we talk about Aaron Roderick, going back into 2019 is when he started calling games.
Correct.
So we're now at a pretty big sample size, Scotty, where I look at it and I say, all right, so the personnel is the personnel, and they've got a lot of good personnel, but who's calling?
Yeah.
Who's scheming? Who's game planning? And how much success have they had? Because there's one thing that was evident in that Utah game. Utah was out-schemed and out-game-planned.
100%. And that, I think, is the big storyline here in terms of you know, obviously Aaron Roderick's getting a lot of love. Itu Ioki needs to get a lot of love.
Yeah.
For what he did from a schematic standpoint. And you look across the board, that is what's really surprising is the scheme. Like Keenan Pille, he's a great player. He's got 24 tackles. You got Ben Bywater out there who's second on the team in tackles. He doesn't bring a lot of experience to the table, but the scheme is allowing him to be successful. Now, obviously, he has talent and he's a good player, but the scheme that they're putting him in is allowing him to be successful.
To clean up.
Yeah.
Okay, now this is where you got to go with this conversation then, to try to dive in to understand how good BYU can be. Was this a matter of Aaron Roderick, former Utah assistant coach, Kevin Kloon, very familiar with everything Utah does, Itu Ioki, former Utah defensive line coach, Kalani Sitake, former defensive coordinator for the University of Utah. Was this a matter of a group of very good coaches sitting around and saying, we know what's coming, and we know what to do against Utah, and we know how to put this together? And the point I'm trying to get to with that is, can they do the same thing with Herm Edwards? We know Herm Edwards. We know how to beat Herm. We know what they're going to try to do. Or is this just a very unique sample size of a bunch of men that outguessed what Kyle Whittingham was coming with, yeah, and Andy Ludwig and Morgan Scally? Or is this a coordinating crew that can do the same thing week in and week out? Can they do it against Herm Edwards? Can they do it against Jeff Grimes? Can, yeah, they do it against Bronco Mendenhall?
Can I answer that on Sunday morning?
I would like you to answer that now.
Yeah, but I think so.
But you see the question.
But yeah, but you're right. The familiarity, I think, allowed BYU to handle themselves, and the lack of creativity on Utah's part.
Yes.
Allowed BYU to have a ton of success on Saturday. But can that carry over? And I don't, you know, I'm not saying I'm not buying in on BYU. I'm bought in. I thought this team would win 9 games before the season started.
But
I do want to see what happens when they play up against Arizona State. Yeah, for sure.
But, Scotty, there's a different level of buy-in, though. Because, yeah, you were bought in, and I was bought in,
yeah,
for BYU going into the season, but neither of us were bought into the point where we thought they would wreck the University of Utah.
Yeah.
So now it's beyond a buy-in. Now it's kind of like, all right, you know, we're here on the Cougar Preview Show. BYU fans are tuning in. They want to hear about their Cougars. They want to know how good they are. Well, now I'm trying to figure out. I was bought in. I had a lot of faith in Kalani. I knew that this team would be good. I thought they'd be right around a 9-win team. I predicted they'd go 5-2 mm-hmm. in their Power 5 games. I felt like it was a good team. But yeah, now it's like, wait a second, hold on. And it's the something you have to do every year when a team opens up with a couple of interesting wins. You stop and you say, all right, well, how good are they? I do the same thing with Utah State.
Yeah, and that's totally fair.
Utah State gets the win on the road. Utah State gives up 21 points and a quarter to North Dakota State. Then they stop them. They got a new coach and a team. And every day I'm like, wait a second. Okay, but how good are they?
Yeah.
And we're going to learn a world of knowledge. We're gonna gain a world of knowledge after this Arizona State game.
Yeah.
Because this is a unique quarterback situation. I don't think that they will face a quarterback as slick as Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
I don't think they will. You watched him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's greasy.
Should be playing for Utah right now.
He's tough to bring down.
Yeah.
You slide off
lightning fast.
Yeah.
Hard to tackle.
Put you on your butt before, yep, you even get a touch on him.
Yep.
So this is a really unique world that they're going to be living in. But my question is, and I think that Aaron Roderick has answered it time and again against Boise State a couple of times. And you go back to his time when he was a coordinator at the University of Utah. He was a winning coordinator at Utah. So I think that the answer for Aaron Roderick is, he's underrated, and he can put together a game plan. He knows defenses. And if Arizona State thinks that they're just going to roll out of bed and throw their base defense out at Aaron Roderick, they'll lose.
Yeah.
Arizona State's got to have their eyes wide open, and they better come with a pretty intricate game plan to try to combat what – because this isn't – BYU's not just rolling out there. It felt like Utah rolled out there with, hey, we're Utah, let's go beat them up in the trench. BYU came in and they're like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to beat them at their game.
Yeah.
Then we're going to have some wrinkles that are going to beat them and bring our own game. There's some creative minds going on at BYU right now. I don't – the one creative mind that doesn't get talked enough about is Festus Satake. But the other great part, Scotty, you know – when me, you, and Lloyd sat down to kind of build out this show almost 8 years ago and how we were going to go about things, and nobody came in with an ego, and we're all just sitting there like, well, what can we do? What would work? What would be fun? What areas do we need to intensify? And all of us just threw out suggestions. We all trusted each other and listened. It wasn't, well, I've programmed 100 shows, and I've done this and this. Or it wasn't, well, I've had my own morning show, and I do this and this. It was, how can we build the best thing? That's what you've got right now in that coaching room with BYU. It's not egos. It's not, well, I was at Weber State calling plays, and, well, I was at the University of Utah calling plays. It's just guys sitting around saying, all right, how do we figure this out? How do we crack this nut? We know Herm Edwards. We know what Jaden Daniels is all about. How do we crack this nut? Ed Lamb's been a head coach. He's sitting there with Eli Satake, who's been a defensive line coach and now a defensive coordinator for years, and Kalani Satake, who's been a – and those guys aren't being combative.
No.
And, no, this has got to be my way. It's, all right, well, we've got this Bywater kid, and we've got this Chaz Ayu kid, and we've got this Wilgar kid. What if in these blitzing schemes we get some separation, we widen here, and we bring this combination of stunt? Well, yeah, that might work. I can see that working. Well, look at what Herm Edwards is trying to do. He's trying to do a wing T out of a shotgun formation with Jaden Daniels.
Yes.
Well, if we do that, you know, and those minds are creative instead of combative. So you know from experience, Scotty, that's a pretty conducive working environment.
Well, and we had talked about that when they made the hire. So Jeff Grimes comes in, all right? He's going to be originally was going to be your primary play caller. And then you've got Aaron Roderick, who's called plays in the Pac-12. Then you had Fessy Satake, who just been an OC at Weber State. I mean, there were a lot of cooks in the kitchen at that
Steve
point.
Steve Clark. Who was a coordinator at Southern Utah, I believe.
And so you've got all these guys that have play calling history, have been OCs, and you get them in a room, and they kept saying, hey, look, it's collaboration. We're all smarter together than we are individually. It's going to work out. And it did, especially when A-Rod started calling plays in 2019. And it really started clicking, and they've been on a tear offensively ever since. So it's working. It's working at a really, really high level. And I had some questions about it. I think a lot of us did. I mean, it's tough when you bring in a bunch of people that have been the guy, and they all have to work together and try to come up with an equal voice to get things done. Because I guarantee there's been times in that meeting room when they've been like, this is the right way to do it. Another guy's been like, no, this is the right way to do it. I've seen this before. Like, no, I've seen it too, and this is the best way to attack it. And somehow these guys are coming together and knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, but then it's, okay, well, let's try this.
Yeah.
We'll go with what you're saying, but we're going to have this ready. I've got this ready. Yeah, because I've ran this against the University of Utah. I've seen what this does against them. Yeah, I get that, but in order to have kind of a more consistent front, we need to have this. Okay, but we're going to have this ready. So instead of it being a conflict and people saying they want to leave and having a countdown on the board and being sick of where they are, they're working together, and they're coming up with some really great game plans.
How much do you credit leadership from Kalani Satake on that in developing an atmosphere where that can be successful? Because I don't think Kalani Satake's barging into the offensive meeting room and said, guys, this is what has to happen this week. This, and this. And I don't want anything. I don't want any risks. Our defense is good. I don't want anybody screwing this thing up. Mm-hmm. I think Kalani, and this is just my opinion, you would know far better than I how the makeup of that coaching staff is, but Kalani doesn't seem to be an offensive micromanager.
No, he's not. No, he's not. He's an empower.
He might be on the defensive side because that's his background and he feels comfortable with it.
He's an empower. He always has been an empower.
Yeah.
Just likes to give maybe some advice, likes to listen to your intelligence, your level of intelligence and intelligence and understanding of it, and then he's going to let you go with it. So yeah, I think he's the right guy to let that creative work kind of flow from these coaches. Not to try to step in and be the dictator. So it's an impressive staff with some impressive outcome. Right now I'm with BYU fans. I'm just crunching all the different numbers, the rosters and the coaches, thinking to myself, but how good? How good? Because the schedule lines up that they can prove a lot to the country. But how good is this team? If they go out and undo Arizona State with Arizona State's offensive speed, then you start looking at South Florida the following week, and you start putting things together, and you're like, well, they got a bye week coming. They've got a lull in late stretch that they just can't blink in November. They've got games that they got to prove in Baylor and Virginia. But it's hard because your mind lets you take – if they start the season 3-0, Scotty, ooh, the sky's the limit.
Oh, it really is. Then ESPN rolls out Trevor Maddich, and the hype train really kicks off.
Yeah, because the BYU fan hype train, it already – I can't believe how intense it is.
Well, these
the
were
first 2 weeks.
I mean – when you map out the season, I think we had both these games as L's for BYU. Utah and Arizona State.
Yeah, but not yeah that. But the Arizona State is a win. Yes.
Yeah, and so at that point,
okay. So
yeah,
I preseason took BYU to be 5-2 in Power Five games. I thought that the two losses would be Utah and Arizona State. I thought they'd beat USC because
I did think
USC's a mess.
I mean, we all thought Clay Helton be fired, maybe not this fast, but by the time BYU got around to playing him, sure.
But the two losses I gave them when I picked 5-2
yes.
in Power 5 games is Utah and Arizona State.
Agreed. All right, Hans and Scotty, live right here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street. Some Jazz gear up for grabs. Come by, grab some of that. Check out these vehicles with 0% financing. Every new model is available to you at 0% financing. That's right. You got to take advantage of it right now. Come by, say hi, and they all come with a forever warranty. Learn more about that. Peace of mind, folks, knowing that your vehicle will be covered for as long as you own it, and that costs you nothing. It's all courtesy of Tim Daly, Nissan, and Murray right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK. Time to talk football with Nick Ford, the University of Utah offensive lineman. Curious how you are after the loss to BYU, and I'm wondering how much that wrecked your whole weekend, so to speak.
You know, you can take it with a grain of salt. There's a lot of things on film that was good. There's a lot of things on film that were bad. There's a lot of things that people on the outside don't understand that people on the inside do understand, and give credit where it's due. And, you know, it's on to the next week. Can't croak. Nobody feels sorry for us. It's a disappointment, and definitely going to improve from that.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Listening to the Cougar Preview Show with Hans and Scotty on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
really well coached. Herm's done an amazing job there. Obviously ranked, and they're having a lot of success. They have a really dynamic quarterback that causes a lot of problems. Jaden Daniels is a really, really good player, and he has a lot of poise. He just seems like a veteran right now. Surrounded by a physical, athletic line, good tight ends that can play and can block and they can catch, and a number of skilled players at running back and receiver that have tons of athleticism and speed. So it's a difficult matchup, but we're looking forward to it.
Cougar Preview Show, DJ and PK right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
So I know Herm Edwards because I went to VeSalle High School, and Herm Edwards went to VeSalle High School, and we both ate at that Jack in the Box right across the street from our high school football field, and I met his wife. My youngest child went to school with his wife's sister.
And your wife taught with her too, right?
Now you got to throw some DJ quip at me.
I got nothing.
I'm going to just say, well played, PK.
Well played, PK. You passive-aggressive little punk.
Welcome in. This is DJ and PK. We're happy to be here with you today.
Yes. Every day till 2 o'clock. That was funny.
Yeah, well, I guess it's fitting, seeing how Arizona State's in town.
That's true. That is true.
I haven't had a chance to listen to him. Is PK going crazy? Is he excited?
No, he's not fanboy. Okay. He knows where his bread is buttered.
All right. I wasn't sure if he's going nuts with Arizona State coming.
He referenced the story the other day when Utah lost to Arizona State, and I think they had an interview with Kyle Whittingham the following week, and Kyle was like, I bet you're loving this. And PK's like, no, I'm cringing right now. This is not comfortable for me.
This isn't the best position.
I don't like being in this position at all.
I know how PK feels about Kalani. You know, and there's a school allegiance, and then there's, well, I really like some of these individuals. And then there's, well, my work is better when in-state schools, because really our jobs are better when in-state schools dominate.
You know, and part of my job with Utah State in calling those games is you go up there and you know, I do the coaches show, and there's some other events that I MC and stuff like that. And everybody's like, how can you even handle being around BYU and talking about BYU? I'm like, Kalani Sitake's like the best dude on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I get it. I understand the rivalry hatred and the disdain and stuff like that. But when you get to know these people and you get to know, like, one of my favorite players that we've had a chance to chat with, you know, Mason Wake is right up there. I'm propping him up, the kid that played at Stansbury. Now trying to make a run in the NFL a little bit, that dealt with all the injuries. Wow, I can't believe I'm spacing his name now. He's one of my favorite interviews I've ever had. Like, these are all
Zane.
Yeah. There you go. Thank you. Those are all guys that are really good human beings. Their coaching staff is filled with great human beings that are good family men and good coaches and leaders. So it's like, no, I don't really hate it. Regardless of what a lot of you think out there, we really don't hate anybody.
Nope. We'd love to see him. Now we have to focus on
other members of the media.
Areas.
Now we've got some talk. Now we can talk.
Oh man,
I'm kidding.
Don't get in a Twitter spat. So Scotty, we need to look at this Arizona State team just a little bit more. I don't know how much we actually know about Arizona State.
The first two games are tough to get any kind of a vibe on this team.
Right, because as I asked you yesterday, how good is UNLV? You told me UNLV is pretty so-so, kind of below so-so.
No. Look, there's some guys on their teams that, you know, they'll always have a skilled position player, too, that are really good. But overall, as a team, they're not great. And Arizona State, Jaden Daniels rushed for, 120 yards on his own against UNLV?
125 yards against UNLV. And I didn't see how much he rushed against
40.
Southern Utah. But he was only in for, I think, three quarters or something. So, and I think he's team leading rusher at this point. They do
In terms of yards, Rashad White has 29 carries for 154 yards and four touchdowns.
So he's a pretty good running back.
Yeah. Oh, you're really good.
Mm-hmm. He's a pretty good running back. Their blocking schemes are interesting. for those of you that didn't see, yesterday I sent out some different film of Arizona State when I was studying them. They run a lot of counters, a lot of pulls, a lot of misdirection. There's, you know, you're going to have to be very key savvy, just like you were against University of Utah. I thought our conversation, and I know that this is the BYU preview show, our conversation yesterday with Blake Anderson, talking to him about North Dakota putting up 21 points, and then asking him, hey, so what happened? What in the heck happened?
Yeah.
Because first quarter, 21 points, then you stop him the rest of the game, and he said, we didn't change. Like, it was execution and reading keys. That's the game of college football. Gets a little more intense and a lot more intricate in the NFL. But with college football, you start looking at something you're not supposed to, and I showed you the video.
Yeah.
You get pulled to a gap that you're not supposed to be in,
yep.
And then Jaren Hall is off for a 25-yard gain, and then you're back on the bench.
It's the maddening and also the beautiful thing about football. Where, and you know, you talk about Utah State, they're going to see it against Air Force, and you're going to see it for BYU against Arizona State. One missed assignment. There's 11 dudes out on the field. But if you're that edge guy and you don't get contained, or you dip under when you're supposed to go to the outside because you're trying to keep a guy in a pocket.
And you got a guy like Jaden Daniels.
Or Jaren Hall in that case.
Or Jaren Hall.
And all of a sudden, it's a 60-yard run. And you're like, wait a minute. There's 10 other guys out there. I know, but one guy makes one wrong move, even for a split second, and it completely alters landscape.
Which is exactly what happened in that video I showed you.
Correct.
One University of Utah player off the edge made one mistake on a 3rd and 9 or 3rd and 11, whatever it was, and gave up the first down to Jaren Hall. It was one guy.
Yep.
Everybody else did their job. One guy didn't. Gave up the first down. It's maddening. That is the game of football. It is maddening. But that's just how it works. So BYU, and I know there are people driving in their cars that are like, then why do people do it? Why don't you just read your keys? Why don't you just play the play as the play is designed? Well, until you're on a football field and you see the shift of the quarterback and you're responsible for that outside gap and he shifts and you're like, oh, I got him.
Yeah.
And you club underneath and you're like, I'm going to go get him, because it's that enticement of making that play. And he makes one shift move and I'm like, I've got him. And you club to the inside even for a split second and you're done. It's the same with a safety. Safety sees quarterback drop back. He sees the handoff on some type of sweep. He starts to make movement towards the outside part of the field, and that quarterback just tucks that ball with a beautiful play action fake and rolls back to the outside and finds that streak, and the safety was pulled off by the key that was not his. Every play and every formation, you've got a key, you've got some identifier, indicator of, well, what to watch out for. And by the way, you've got Ed Lamb who's on the side, or you've got Gennaro Guilford, who's on the sideline, and they are screaming at the top of their lung, watch end around, play fake. Watch end around, stay home. And even with the coaches yelling it, you're still in your mind like, oh, I'm going to get this reverse. I'm going to collapse this outside. I'm coming up in run support. Everybody's going to cheer my name when some DN is hanging on to him and I blow him up and cause the fumble. You know what I'm trying to help people understand why guys get pulled out of their responsibility.
And because we keep hearing over and over and over, assignment football, do your job. I mean, these are cliches you hear all the time. The coaches say, and those that, you know, in high school, I mean, look, you're out there having fun. At the collegiate level, there's more at stake and there's more jobs and there's more keys and responsibility. So I think people have a hard time realizing, well, why doesn't he just do his job? And I'm glad you're explaining this.
So you say, you know, there's more keys. In the college game, there becomes more false keys, trying to get you out of your game.
Yeah.
I'm trying. It's the smoke and mirrors. I'm doing these things over here, and in the meantime, all the magic is happening behind my back. And to fight against the smoke and mirrors, it is a natural reaction as a football player to buy into what your eyes are seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, oh, if your eyes see this, just understand this is happening. I can't tell you how many times, Scotty, a coach told me, if your offensive guard vanishes, look inside. Don't look outside. Don't follow the running back that's flying outside and think, oh, I got to go chase him. Look inside and log the trap. And that guard would vacate. I would see the running back streak, and I'm like, I'm going to go get him. And I chase him out there, and then I get hit kind of backside shoulder by the trapping guard, and here comes the fullback with the ball right behind me.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't tell you, dude. It's like coaches can drive it into your head, but your eyes are seeing this in a split second, and you're like, got to be a hero. There it is. And the next thing you know, and it's so quick, the movements are so fast, it just takes a second.
What happens in a film room? Okay, let's say that player, and we don't need to be calling out guys, but let's say that guy who lost contain on Jaren Hall, let's say he loses, he goes that instinctual move and he gets the sack and he's up and he's celebrating, teams are patting him on the butt. What happens in the film room on Monday when they're breaking it down?
This happened a million times.
Because you're thinking, I'm the man, yeah, I just did this.
This happens a million times. And the coach always says, if you're going to do it, you better make that play. Because if you miss it, you know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. They casually suggest, stay out there. Be smart. But they also don't want to rob you of your instinct as a great pass rusher. Because great pass rushers can feel, and they know, I've got a quarterback that can't, if I dip underneath, I can still flatten and get to the sideline and get this tackle. Because I'm that quick and I know my ability. So you don't want to take that natural instinct away from players, because some of the great pass rushers have a beautiful natural instinct. Well, that tackle's leaning. He's leaning. He's now leaned three times in a row. I'm taking the inside path. And if that quarterback tries to get out on outside of me, I'll get him. And, all right, I am currently, it's Tom Brady in the pocket. Or it's Patrick Mahomes. Well, who am I playing against? It's Tom Brady. Well, I'm going to dip underneath, and I'm going to take that risk.
Yeah.
Because at the very least, I'm going to pressure Brady. He's going to hit his drop-off. If it's Patrick Mahomes, it's like,
nope.
This guy's leaned on me three times. I'm staying outside.
Yeah.
I'm not messing with this, because Mahomes is going to get me on the outside. So you got to be smart. But the coaches don't want to take away great instinct. But sometimes it's great instinct that leads to a bad mistake.
Yeah.
For instance, the kid that dipped underneath on that, he's a great football player. He's going to be a great football player. He's young. He's going to be a great football player. He's learning. He should have known by that time in that game that Jaren Hall was capable of hitting him on the outside and burning him for a first down with his feet. He should have known. And that entire team should have started to recognize by the time the middle of the second quarter rolled around, we can't dip on Jaren Hall at all. None of us can look. None of us can get caught looking. So the touchdown to Samson Nakua. I did a film breakdown on that. I don't know if I posted it, but I'll show it to you. The corner that was responsible for Samson, I think Samson was in the slot, and I highlighted this in the video. You see right before the snap, Scotty, he's looking at his read on Samson, and he dips it in his head, looks quickly inside to Jaren. The ball snaps. Samson makes that quick cut to the pylon. And you see him flip his head around and start to chase Samson. And it was just a 3-foot separation because he looked in the backfield. And you see his head look. And there's Samson to the corner. That's all it takes in the world of college football. Instead, it's, okay, I don't even care what's going on back there. I'm watching his left foot. And wherever his left foot steps and whatever angle that toe steps at, that's where my toe steps. And I'm not worried about what this quarterback is doing or what that offensive line is doing. If he steps at me and he's looking to block, then I bang and I head inside. If he takes an outside step, then I quickly, you know, get to the pylon before he gets to the pylon.
Yeah.
Whatever it is for those corners or those nickels or those safeties and their coverage responsibility. And you see a University of Utah defensive back dip his head inside. Samson takes the quick cut. He's already lost the play.
Yeah.
So stop looking at what you're not supposed to be looking at. And then people are like, well, why did they do it? Well, I can tell you why they did it. I did it a million times. Because it's so enticing to be the guy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, after the game, it's like, so how did you know that Jaron was going to come out on a read option, the speed option, and instead of covering your route, you got in and made the tackle on the speed option? How did you know? He's like, man, I just know. Instead, it's,
hey, man,
I got caught looking.
Why didn't you know that?
you got Sharice Shaw sitting there like, I told you a million times, man, he takes that step. You got to get to that corner before he gets that corner. What are you doing? I don't understand what you're doing. Why? What are you looking inside for?
Coach is wondering what I talked to you about all week. We talked about this.
It's why I can't coach. It gives me anxiety even talking about getting pulled into the smoke and mirrors of things. And I did it so often that I feel like if I coached, I would just be a hypocrite telling them not to do it.
Yeah, but they didn't have the talent you had. You can get away with that
stuff. Well, there were times.
Yeah.
There were times where I did a lot of assignments in one play, and it came up aces for me.
Hans and Scotty coming up at 105. James Empey, you'll hear that conversation as we had a chance to catch up with the offensive lineman for BYU. It's all straight ahead. Hans and Scotty, it's your Cougar Preview Show right here on the Zone Sports Network.
It's game week for the Cougars. And the Zone Sports Network is getting you ready for kickoff.
It ain't over till it's over.
After their emotional win against the Utes, BYU welcomes in another Pac-12 opponent as Arizona State rolls into Lavelle Edwards Stadium this Saturday. Listen all week for your chance to win tickets to the game and then catch the Cougar pregame show Saturday at 6 with a postgame show immediately following the game on the Zone Sports Network. From Monday morning to the post-game press conference, nobody brings you better coverage of Cougar football than 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. You're listening to the Cougar Preview Show with Hans and Scotty on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
97.5, 1280 The Zone. Hans and Scotty, your Cougar Preview Show, getting you ready for BYU and Arizona State. Arizona State coming off back-to-back wins against, against Southern Utah, an FCS team, and UNLV, a lower-level Mountain West Conference team, and looking good on both counts. Arizona State, their first game against Southern Utah was 41-14, and then against UNLV, 37-10. So, pretty smooth sailing in both those games, as you would expect against that level of competition.
Yeah, you would assume that you wouldn't see struggle. I still haven't seen, have their coaches been reinstated?
I have not seen anything about that. And if they have, I guess I've missed it, but I've not read anything about them being reinstated.
Lloyd, have you heard or seen, or has Hatch heard or seen? For those of you that didn't know, there were three coaches at Arizona State that were restricted from being at the practice facility and a part of practice through big parts of camp.
Yeah.
And I don't think that would have really surfaced with the type of talent that they're playing against, but if they're still suspended or if they've had to implement GAs that understood the system and the GAs are still trying to work through some of the game planning, then there could be some coaching issues that surface this week against a much better opponent.
Yeah. 100%.
We just haven't seen it surface against a pretty terrible UNLV team and a mediocre FCS team in Southern Utah. So how are they...
I was going to ask you, how do you delegate some of that stuff?
Just go to GAs.
Yeah.
Guys that are crunch numbers and really aren't being paid like assistants. Those guys aren't back in the offices. And I have not seen word one about them being back in the offices. So what you would do is you would go to all the assistant staff that's been kind of working on the periphery, and you would give them just – you delegate more obligation to them. That's the only way I could see it But then, you know, that comes down to experience. There's a reason that you've got 10 paid assistants, and there's a reason you pick those 10. A lot of times they've got the experience or the know-how, or there's, you know, if you've got somebody that's not real tuned in and trained with an eye to look at the blitzing scheme, because I think it was a tight ends coach.
Correct. So and a wide receiver coach.
So let's say I'm the tight ends coach, and I'm looking at that BYU blitzing scheme, and this week we're going a lot of max protect, and we're going to go two tight end sets, or we're going tight end fullback set, or we're going tight end running back set, and we are going max protect, keeping seven in to block whatever BYU throws my way. Well, it's going to take a really good tight ends coach to have all your tight ends on the same page to function inside of that max protect and understand what those blitzing schemes are. And we were talking about all the key reads. It takes a really good tight end coach, Scotty, to sit down and show a tight end, okay, let me show you where this blitz is coming from. This is it's the far side outside linebacker. And on the snap, he's just following this defensive end. And your defensive end is going to crash across your face. And if you get pulled into that on this text look and this outside linebacker comes around, if you don't see him coming around late, we're screwed. He's going to pick up that sack.
Yeah.
So you better jam that guy down. And I'm just trying to give the examples of what the tight end coach is going to be seeing, because those BYU blitzes are intricate.
Yeah, and I think Itu Iaki and this defensive staff know that. I mean, I think that's part of my preparation. I think I look at where are they shorthanded, where can we attack these guys, and what can we do to make them look silly. And I think they're I would game plan towards that. All right, you don't have a tight end coach. All right, what can we do to try to confuse that tight end out there? Worth a shot.
Yeah, and it could be as simple as something as, you know, making a quick change in max protect.
Yeah.
And hey, this week we've got to make this change. A lot of times that, Scotty, that's not the offensive coordinator. That's not Herm Edwards. No. That's a tight end coach that's got experience in seeing these blitzes, and he's saying, hey, instead of going max protect, why don't we just have a quick release? Just have a quick release. Or instead of max protect, why don't we just chip into quick release? Instead, the GA is like, well, what did you guys do in the past? I don't know.
Yeah, like, no, you're right.
There are unique intricacies to the game that these assistants have years of experience to roll out in suggestion and game plan.
Yeah, yeah.
So if they don't have that, then it's going to play a role in a team like BYU.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think that's a concern, and it's going to be a concern the higher your level of competition goes going forward.
Might be a benefit for BYU. At some point, the distractions Arizona State's gone through, they're going to surface. I don't know if it's at LaVell Edwards Stadium this weekend. I don't know if it's going to be at the University of Utah, but at some point, it's going to surface.
You know, the interesting thing about Arizona State, too, is you look at their schedule. They don't have Oregon. They get UCLA at home, and they will be at Utah, but they don't deal with Oregon. If they beat BYU, who knows how far
that
they
sets
could go.
Them up.
That sets them up nicely.
Yeah, and they know that. I played against Arizona State twice. Played in Sun Devil Stadium. Played
early in the year.
Yes.
Was it 8,000 degrees down there?
Yeah, couldn't breathe. Yeah. Miserable hot. Big stadium.
No, it's a big stadium, and they never come close to filling it.
No, it was a big stadium. Felt pretty empty, but. I do remember that those Arizona State Sun Devils, they think that they're God's gift. They really do. And I think this group thinks that they're God's gift.
And you
they've got a supreme confidence.
Did you win both those games?
No. 1-1.
1-1. Okay.
1-1. Played really well in the one we won, though.
There you go. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you won. It's a matter if Hans Olsen played well.
And I don't think I played in the one we lost.
See, that's you're 1-0.
Yeah, so I'm 1-0 against them. But that whole group, I think that university, they've got a unique confidence. And I think they're feeling it right now. Jaden Daniels, rightfully so. That's a unique talent.
103, Hans and Scotty coming up at 1:30. We'll have a BYU Arizona State edition of Over Under. Also coming up next, you'll hear from James Empey as your Cougar preview show continues on right here on the Zone Sports Network.